This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good morning, one and all. Actually, it's Frank Proctor here, sous chef of the garden, sitting in the chair where Charlie would normally sit. She, however, is taking this day off, as she did last week, to help facilitate that move to Prince Edward County and that beautiful home she has. Maybe she's tuned in right now. So, good morning, Charlie. We're going to be glad to see you back next week. And the chap who has been holding forth and holding the fort down for you is Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. Good to see you, Dennis.
Hey, good morning again, Frank.
We're looking forward to a fun show, as usual.
Absolutely. Charlie's shoes are big to fill.
And,
right?
You know, I admire you for standing up, even though, you know, 3-inch heels. Boy, oh, boy.
I know.
In any case, let's just for a moment, because we've got to pay you back somehow. Landscape Ontario, where work. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, Frank, thanks. It's a not-for-profit association, membership association, where you reach across the province. Your listeners, whether they're in Kitchener or Owen Sound or Ottawa, we have member companies that service that area. Our main mandate is to sort of increase the awareness for gardening, horticulture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we put on a lot of educational courses for our members so that every year they're improving their skills, improving their business skills. And that's probably the number one reason that they belong is to, as we say, is raise the bar in the profession, in the green profession. So really, that's what we're all about. If listeners are looking for some expertise in their garden, certainly go to our website, landscapeontario.com.
As I think I mentioned last week, one of the premier ideas for me anyway is to locate a proper arborist.
Yes.
If you're having problems with your trees,
yes,
whatever, and you need to be recommended to a certified,
yes,
arborist, that's an excellent place to head.
Yeah.
Landscape Ontario.
Yeah. Go to our website and you can put in your postal code,
yep,
and search in your area. And a lot of people take advantage of that. And it's been good. It's been a busy week.
Mm-hmm.
We also support many causes. And so, you know, Frank, I know you'd be jealous that I was playing golf down in
Port Hope.
Port Hope.
And tell me it's a gorgeous course.
Gorgeous course, absolutely, along Lake Ontario. But it was a fundraiser for one of the campaigns that we support, which is called Highway of Heroes.
Oh, yes.
Which is a fab,
sure,
you know, it was driven by Mark Cullen, who everyone knows in the gardening world, and Landscape Ontario supports it big time, which allows me to go and play golf.
There you go. Well, we drove, Shirley and I, we're on that Highway of Heroes on our way to Prince Edward County.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago. All righty. We better get to business here. Get the phone numbers on the air. Get the calls coming in. If you're in the Toronto area, here's the number for you to call to talk to Dennis and ask your question. 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. If you are a first time caller, let Duncan, our operator, know, please. And when you get to come on the air, just before that, that's where you're going to hear. Get your garden wings, as we like to say. And the little mantra we like to offer up here is call early, call often, one question per call to give everybody a fair shot at things, okay? And we're coming back in moments to say hi to Art in North York, who has a question for you, Dennis. So
Great. Stay
by for that, okay? Here we are on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Dennis, we have a loaded line here. My gosh.
That's great.
Just incredible. So we're going to start things off by welcoming Art to the line from North York. Hi, good morning, Art.
Morning, fellas.
Good morning.
My question is on blackberries.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been cutting them back in the fall because I feel if I cut them back, it'll cut the production of fruit. Is that the case?
It can be. It depends on the variety, Art. Have they borne fruit yet this year?
Oh, God, I've had about 20 quarts. So.
Oh, wow.
Good. And you beat the raccoons to it?
Yeah.
If you have the answer for that one, let me know. So that means it's an earlier variety, which means it's going to set flower on the current the new growth. So actually, cutting back in the fall time is not a bad thing at all. Particularly if they're getting a bit thick, the canes are getting a bit thick, are they?
Well, last year I didn't cut them back because I thought it would affect the production for the following year.
Yeah, and you're dead right, and I think Charlie would agree with me. There's never one answer to some problems, and so a little sort of way to test, and you're doing exactly that, is actually take one third of those blackberries and prune them hard this fall, and monitor the results and see if you get a better. Although you sound as if you're getting great results, but just for future reference. And that's what we often recommend when people take over a garden, that they're not sure the varieties of the fruit trees, is to do a little bit of a test run. So I would recommend to take a third of them this fall, do some harsh pruning, and monitor how that affects the crop next year.
What about what variety would that be? Do you have any idea when they've been bearing for the last, two or three weeks.
Wow. Mm. I off the top of my head, I wouldn't want to guess. It's something we could reference Charlie to check back into.
Could you take a photo and send it to us by any chance?
No, I haven't got a camera.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's all right.
We can
do some research. Charlie's got nothing to do all week, so.
God, I hope she's doing this.
Frank's going to give us some homework to do.
All right. Thank you so much, Art.
That won't affect the, if I do cut them back in the fall, because I'm afraid
last year I
didn't bother.
No, that's why I'm
had more berries.
Yes. Yeah, and you could be dead right. So all I'm suggesting is a little bit of a test run to see what happens.
And I always fertilize them.
Good for you. With manure?
Yeah. I get manure, I guess that's about the best.
Yeah, manure is the best for blackberries, yeah. So chase a horse around this afternoon.
Art, we have to move along. We've got other callers to get to, okay? Thanks so much for your call.
Okay.
And good luck with those blackberries. Man, oh, man, he sounds like he's doing the right thing, whatever he's doing.
Should bring him in here, shouldn't he?
Yeah, you'd mentioned raccoons.
Yes.
I had a little problem this morning, almost, with wildlife. I walked out the back door here of the station to get to my car. I'd left something, a script in there, and I opened the door to step out, and there was a skunk.
Oh.
4 feet away from me.
Wow.
And I don't know. I didn't bother to check.
No.
But the tail started to go up, and I got back inside real quick.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the one wandered off down the alley.
I wonder why your technical assistant this morning insisted on being on the other side of the glass from you, actually. I kind of understand now.
Hey, Lorraine in Cambridge. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi. I have two shrubs that I've planted too close together, and one's nine bark, and the other one is a Japanese variegated willow.
Oh, beautiful.
And I didn't know that you should trim the back, at least the willow, to retain the color.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know if you trim back the the nine bark at all?
No, that'll keep its color. But it's the new growth on the willow that'll give you the brightest color, and that's why you're pruning that back. Nice color, good choice. Nice color combination.
They're too close. What would be the result if I moved one, and which one would it move that? Safely.
That's a great question. Both are very tough shrubs, so either would move. The willow I would bet on a little bit better.
Yeah.
Perfect call for this timing for this call, because coming into the cooler weather of September, it's going to be the ideal time to move it. They should be at least 4 feet, 5 feet apart to allow them to develop and grow. And get lots of soil, use some transplant fertilizer, and perfect timing, mid-September, I'd say. As we cool, you can safely move it, and I would prune it back by about one-third of its height to allow it to establish.
The nine bark?
I'd probably bet on the willow, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I'd rather do the So if I move the nine bark, would I trim it back?
Yes. The general principle is when you're transplanting or moving any shrub is to cut back the foliage. The principle there is you're reducing the transpiration, the loss of water through the leaves, and the concentration goes into the root system to develop new roots.
So I take off a third?
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Great, Lorraine. Thank you for joining us. And as we wave bye-bye to Lorraine, we have to take a little bit of a break, but let me remind you of the phone numbers in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And our special guest host today, of course, Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario, will be saying hi momentarily to Siva right here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And you're with Frank Proctor here on Zoomer Radio with The Garden Show, of course, hosted today by Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. And Dennis, next on the line, old friend Siva going to join us here. Hi, Siva. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Siva, just great.
Okay. I planted three zucchini vines, and I got none. The borer took them all. What can I do for next year?
Oh, dear. Yeah. Now, the plant was okay. You just didn't get the zucchini, right? Is that
right? The borer, you know, that insect that eats the vine?
Yeah.
It just ate it until it rot.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's pretty unusual.
I have that problem every year, and this year it was worse because I planted three. I thought maybe one would survive, but none did.
None, eh?
Huh. No.
That's pretty unusual, Siva.
Okay.
Have you actually seen the evidence of the insect, the boar insect?
I did last year. I didn't check because, well, I realized they were already dead, but I knew what had done it because last year I tried to slice the vine and took it out.
Yes.
But it really didn't survive.
Yeah. Oh, that's a number one rule of thumb with vegetable garden is never grow the same crop in the same place twice. Always move the location. So that's where you want to start by doing that.
I did that because this year I put them in three large pails.
Oh.
You know, so I don't know what's wrong.
They're in pails in hot weather. Hmm. Okay, I hope it was, you're right, it was the boar disease and wasn't. Tough year. I know that my zucchinis, cucumbers, squash had a real tough go of it this year. Very little.
Weather-related, was it?
Weather-related, yeah. I think. Very poor fruit. Don't jump to conclusions, Siva, that it is the boar. Could be something else. Anyway, if it isn't, fresh soil, number one, in those pails. Make sure you clean them out, fresh soil, so you're starting fresh did you grow it by seed or plant? Did you plant plants?
By seed.
Seed, yeah. Okay. So when you're starting the seeds next year, everything's got to be clean and fresh so that you're not, there's no chance of something that overwintered that's affecting it. Of course, lots of sun for anything along the zucchini squash family. And you might want to try crushed eggshells around the base. Anything with a little jagged edge will help some degree with insects, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Alrighty, Siva, thank you very much.
It's funny, Frank, that you mentioned so many calls are weather-related this year.
Yeah.
And I was sort of driving down this morning, and when I walked out my door, I didn't have a skunk issue, but I did notice, you know, a little bit of difference with the, you know, temperature in the air.
Are you kidding? 8 degrees
I
it was.
I know. But
of course, we live up in the Newmarket area.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Yeah.
Man.
So I noticed the nodules on my 9 bark had shrunk.
Well, all righty then. Little information we never knew we'd get. Meantime, let me reach for that bell here. Hey, that's for Howard in Hamilton. Good morning, Howard. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's nice to be on. I didn't know I could get on so quickly. Quick question. I'm having a real hard time with crabgrass in my lawn. How do I get rid of it?
We should ring the bell again for the question of the day, Howard.
Well, I'll do that. There you go.
Boy, you and 17 million other people, I think.
Oh, my.
So. Yeah. Bad news, good news. Bad news is
I put corn gluten on in the spring, just about when the forsythias are supposed to bloom. I tried to time it with that, but it seems to be worse this year than ever.
Yeah. Mm. With this slightly cooler weather, Howard, have you noticed a slight color difference in that crabgrass? Because often they will turn...
Starting to yellow a little
bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, crabgrass is an annual weed, all right? So what's going to happen is it's going to set seed, those seeds are going to drop, and next year you're going to be 10 times as worse if you don't crowd it out. And that's the secret. The corn gluten was a great idea, but going into September is your opportune time to fill in your grass. So the principle being, the thicker the grass, the less chance there is for crabgrass to fill in. So be extra careful this September. Identify those spots. Rake it out. Get rid of any loose stuff.
We're trying to pull it out of it. I got my daughter working at it, but there's so much of it. In some places, I just use Roundup and killed the whole patch.
Good for you. Now that you've done that, you've got bare patches. And what the crabgrass is going to do is jump at those bare patches. So you've got to beat the crabgrass. So get your daughter. Is it your granddaughter or daughter?
My daughter.
Yeah, your daughter. Get her out there with a pail of soil this September, some top quality grass seed. Fill in those patches. Keep it moist. And by getting ahead of the game, by filling in those spots, there's less chance that those crabgrass seeds are going to be able to germinate in the springtime.
Right. So should I overseed the whole lawn as well?
Yeah, it's probably the best thing that you can do for your lawn in September. Seed is not expensive. And the principle being, you put a little top dressing down, you throw a handful for the lawn, a handful for the birds, because there's nothing you can do about it. And thick grass is the best remedy for any weed control, actually.
Yes, correct. I find that if I pull it out along the sidewalks, then the crabgrass is really quick to grow up
away.
Should I put some? I get mushroom manure from one of the mushroom plants up on Guelph Line.
Yeah,
should I put a little bit of that over it?
It's okay as long as it's well rotted. So hopefully a couple of years old. If you're getting it from that farm and it's well rotted, if I use it, I tend to run it through what's called a garden sieve, so that it breaks it down a little bit. And no harm in it. Lots of nutrient value in mushroom compost.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dennis. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, Howard. Thanks for joining us here on a Saturday morning. I'm just quickly glancing out the window here from our location in Liberty Village. Looks like a pretty cloudy morning thus far, huh?
Yeah.
It does. Oh, let me back up just a minute. We're going to get to Lynn in Lagoon City in just a flash. But you, when we're off the air, mentioned something about the Highway of Heroes that I thought was really a wonderful little move. And, of course, with your connection with Landscape Ontario, they're fully behind this movement. Kind of tell the folks about it.
Yeah, we are. So you you know, to get all the background on High Way of Heroes, go to their website. But what happened at the golf tournament, the fundraiser this year, Frank, was something brand new and kind of neat. So David Turnbull, who's in charge of the actual tree planting process along the highway, with a group of...
And for those who don't know what Highway of Heroes is, kind of explain that if you want.
Yes, so between Trenton, Ontario and Etobicoke, Toronto, unfortunately, when anyone in the armed forces have fallen overseas or, you know, wherever they were in combat or support missions, unfortunately, you know, when they do fall, they're flown back to Trenton and are transported along the 401 to the coroner's office in Etobicoke. And a few years ago, you remember this, Frank, a few people started lining the bridges.
Yes.
Very touching. And so what the Highway of Heroes does is to honor those fallen military. There's been 117,000, unfortunately.
Wow.
And so 117,000 trees are being planted along the Highway of Heroes between Trenton and Toronto. And David and his crew came up with the idea. You know, when you plant a little sapling, you put a plastic tree guard on the bottom to stop mice and rabbits chewing the bark. So traditionally, it's white. So he went back to the manufacturer, and they've got yellow tree guards. So I know you're a music fan.
Tie a yellow ribbon
fan.
Around the old oak tree.
Frank,
that's right.
Yep. And so when you're traveling along the 401, along the Highway of Heroes, look out for those thousands of little saplings that are being planted to honor our fallen fellows in the military, and they have a yellow tree guard on the bottom.
I think that's a marvelous thing.
It's cool.
Congratulations to whoever came up with that. That's a good one. Okay, Lynn in Lagoon City, bless your heart for hanging in there. Good morning.
Well, that's no problem. That was quite interesting. Thank you very much. I have a picture here a friend of mine sent me of a plant that popped up in her garden that she knows she never planted. And I'd like to send in a picture if I can get Charlie's email.
Yeah, sure. I can. Have you got a piece of paper and pencil handy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So it's c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N,
right,
at mzmedia.com.
At M as in mother?
That's correct. Z is in zipper, .com.
Oh, that's easy.
Mzmedia,
okay.
Pardon me, media.com.
I will forward it in and see if anybody knows what this is. I thought it looked a bit like a type of rose, but I honestly don't know.
Wow.
Huh. It has prickles on it, but doesn't look like thorns.
Probably some friendly little neighborhood squirrel donated it to you.
I think so, yes. That's usually what I told her.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll send it in.
Thank you, Lynn, very much. All right, and just in case some folks were not quick enough with a pen or pencil, it's c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. For those who might be tuned in from the States, of course, MZ Media. Okay. Nah. Hey, there's Kim in Richmond Hill. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Frank, and good morning, Tony. I have a quick question for you. My lilac trees, the top of them, you know how they die off the flower.
Yep.
They're half brown and still half green. When do I cut the tops of the dead, you know, flower? When do I do it? By now, usually they're cut off, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I'm guessing the green part is seed, actually. They probably produce some seed, and that's what you're seeing. That would be my guess. But Kim, yeah, you should have snipped them off by now. So no harm is done by doing it now.
Okay.
Yeah, you're certainly encouraged. So what happens with a plant is when it, you know, is finished flowering, it does go to seed, and all the energy from the plant goes into producing and maintaining that seed.
Right.
If you've got no use for the seed, then by cutting it off, you're redirecting that energy back into the plants. You get a much, much healthier plant. So
Charlie always said when you do that, she used to say that you should do it when it's going to rain. Is that right?
When it's going to rain. Well, she also runs three times around the lilac, waving some sort of religious symbol, too. But
it's a wine bag, actually.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll get out there today and do it then. Thank you so much.
Okay, Kim. Way to go, Dennis. Another stellar call there. Just a reminder, as we say goodbye to Kim there, it opens up not one, but I've got a couple of lines absolutely open right now in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And if you want to connect with Dennis Flanagan, by all means, 1-866-740-4740. That's a toll-free line. And off we go to Oakville to say hi to Monica. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Frank. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I believe you may have touched on this topic with Charlie a few weeks ago, but I'm calling in about my little maple tree. We rescued a tree when it was about 4 feet high, and it's now doing quite well. It's probably doubled in size in a couple of years. But I noticed that the leaves now have these black spots on them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Can you please review what the remedy is, or if there is one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're describing, Monica, is called tar spot, simply because it looks like black tar that you'd put on a driveway. Very, very tough to get rid of. I wouldn't even waste any time, effort, money trying to get rid of it. It's really just an aesthetic thing.
So it doesn't harm the tree?
No, not long term, Frank. It doesn't. And Monica, the recommendation is when those leaves drop off, is clean them up. And get rid of them.
Right.
Because that black spot will, if you allow it to sit at the base of that maple, will overwinter and could be twice as worse next year. So try to clean it up. The other quick question or tip, Monica, I'm guessing, you said that the maple has doubled in size. I'm assuming that's doubled in height, right?
Well, the canopy has enlarged too. I mean, the tree is only about 7 or 8 feet tall now.
Wow.
But it was in a dismal little corner, and we put it in a far better spot where it gets lots of sunshine and
wow.
so forth.
Good for you.
And this is the first year I've actually noticed this black spot.
Yeah.
A lot of the maple trees in our area in the wild do have this,
yes.
I've noticed. But I thought, oh, it's just starting on my little tree. Is there anything that I can do to help it along to prevent it from on spreading to the whole
Yeah, well, you've hit the nail on the head. Just... when they do, the leaves do fall at the end of the season, collect them up, get rid of them, and that will at least slow the spread down so it doesn't go to any of your other maple trees.
So there would be no merit in just clipping off the ones that I noticed with the spots at this
point. if there were a few, but if they're over the whole tree, no.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, well, taking off those two or three and you're still leaving on several dozen green leaves, no harm at all, actually.
Okay, I will do that. Thank
Good.
You so much.
Thanks, Monica. Okay, Monica, thank you for joining us. Here on a Saturday morning, you're listening to The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Instead of our usual host, of course, with Charlie Dobbin, she's taking care of that new house in Prince Edward County. Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario is here, and we'll welcome your calls in Toronto, 416-360-0740, and a toll-free number, right across the province, 1-866-740-4740. We'll be back in just a moment here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Without the dress, but certainly in person for Charlie, is Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario. Got a call online. I believe the name is Selsa. Is that correct? Selsa, good morning.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a question. I mean, I tried several times. This plant is called Dutzia.
Yes.
And it's a bush, a shrub. But what happens is now for the past 2 years, it just gives me one or two flowers.
Yeah.
It's not blooming. I tried cutting it back, and this time I got so mad at the plant that I shaped the outside. And I said, I'm going to give you all just a little turf on the top. you know. And my daughter said, "Mom, what's this?" I said, "I don't know. I'm trying everything, but it's not blooming profusely, or I'm just getting one or two."
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
What could be the cause?
Well, the cause could be one of many things. How about the sunlight? Let's start with the easiest one.
Oh, it's got a lot of sunlight.
It's in full sunlight. Okay.
Yeah.
You got to be careful when, you know, when you get mad and when you prune it. It's typical of a shrub that blooms on the new year, on the new growth.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to do any pruning on it, it would be late in the season. And this, you know, so we've got sunlight, we've got pruning, and the third one is always the fertilizer issue.
What about overwatering, possibly?
Well, watering and fertilizer is good, because that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
I also used to prune it after it blooms, so I'm not sure when exactly to prune it, like which month.
Yeah, this time, is there a bloom on it now?
No. It's
gone.
Bloomed the same time as a bridal wreath.
Yeah, bridal wreath. Yeah. And
that doesn't matter if I cut it, it's already, you know, got new growth.
How big is it?
Which one, the bridal wreath?
No, the deutzia.
Deutzia, it's about 2 feet tall.
Okay. Okay, that's normal. They grow between 2 and 3 feet high. I'm going to hazard a guess and say use the highest middle number fertilizer that you can find on the market.
I have this, I forget the number, it's 15-30-50. Is that
That's pretty good. Try 060.
Oh, let me try that.
One. Yeah, try 060. So if you've got any nitrogen, which is the first number, it's going to produce the green growth and not the flower growth. So you want to concentrate everything on the middle number to try to encourage some more flowering buds.
Mm-hmm.
To
and this is for shrubs?
Yes. It's for shrubs.
Okay, because I got a shrub fertilizer and you have also for the...
Yeah, which tend to, and fertilizer companies are right. They like to produce something that's a well-balanced fertilizer. But if you run into a little problem like this, you've got to get sort of nailed down on the NPK, the nitrogen. And it's the phosphorus that's going to produce that flower for you. So try that. Don't get so mad with it. That poor little deutzia has feelings.
I know. Why aren't you zooming? I talked to it. I even tried singing.
Well, leave the swear words out next time, you know.
Yeah. Take your anger out on Frank. He's got broad shoulders.
Oh, sure.
Exactly.
I hope you're doing well, Frank. I won't take my anger on you.
bless your heart. Yeah, no, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I hope that answers your question.
That's good.
Good, yeah.
They like you, your listeners, Frank, you know, don't they?
Well, you know,
and
I've got
to.
Let me just single out one particular listener, Maureen Boyce. Now, she listens to everything I do on the radio, but she is such a supporter.
Isn't that nice?
When she heard that I had gone in for a lung surgery, she sent me an Amazon gift card for $40 to buy a book. And I said, I can't accept that. And she said, please. It would make me feel so good if you did.
Nice?
So I did, and I bought Michelle Obama's book, Becoming.
Wow.
I haven't read it yet. I just received it. So, but she
great
supports so many things here at the station.
Story.
So thank you, Maureen, and I do so appreciate that.
Yeah, great story.
Okay, Don in Toronto. Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, my lawn was perfect in the spring and whatever, but the last couple of weeks I noticed these little white flowers popping up.
Yeah. So is it clover, Don? Would you know clover if you saw it?
No. All I know is they're just little wee things and they don't grow that high.
Yeah.
And it's only in certain spots.
Okay. So two guesses. Clover would probably be throughout the lawn. What you put... got is probably some sort of convolvulus or some sort of bindweed that is in there. Same treatment, whatever it is, like a previous caller, if you decide to get rid of it, then you're going to have bare patches, and the principle again is lots of seed in this fall to crowd out any future encroachment of those weeds. Yeah.
So just leave it and that's it?
Yeah. Oh, you can smother it. If there's patches of it, you can smother it with black plastic to get rid of it and then reseed or resod. But seeding in September is great.
Okay.
If you're going to use some sort of weed control, concentrate on what we call spot applications. So you're not putting it over the whole lawn. You're just concentrating on spraying that one little spot that's a problem to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don, reaching out here to the Garden Show on Zoomer Radio this morning, hosted by Dennis Flanagan from Landscape Ontario for Charlie Dobbin, who will be back next week. I know that our next caller has a question about garlic, and everybody, those who listen to the show regularly might know that my favorite food would be spaghetti with garlic butter, and some salt and pepper.
Wow.
Yahoo.
No
I'm
one,
a happy guy.
No wonder the skunk ran away from you.
Okay. Back to John in New Hamburg in just a moment here on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, let's go to New Hamburg and find out what kind of garlic John is serving up out there. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great, thanks.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I've got my garlic. I got about maybe 36 little bulbs I planted. When would it be the best time to dig that up? Right about now?
Yeah, right about now. You should they should be able to harvest them now. And the tip, of course, is keeping one or two of them left over. Let them sit out in the sunshine and dry out. And those are the starters for this year. So you can break the cloves off those couple of bulbs of garlic and replant them now so that you can have a crop for next year.
So plant them now, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. As long as it's dry. The bulb is dry. But good. How many plants did you have?
I think it was about cloves. I think about 3 dozen cloves.
Wow. Wow. Frank's going to be over.
Oh, man.
You know? he's one.
I'll bring the spaghetti.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about the Highway Heroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a beautiful song by Terry Sumption.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe Frank could dig that out.
Do you know what? I'm going to play that this afternoon on my show from 1:00 to 3:30.
That's a
super idea.
Great suggestion. Thank you.
Thanks,
okay,
John.
Thank you kindly.
All the best.
Okay, fine. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye for now. All righty. To Oakville we go. And I hope I'm going to say the name correctly here. Juanita, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Well, good enough. Wow. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I have a huge I'm the first time caller ever.
Oh, well, wait a minute.
Gee whiz,
there we go.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have a large problem. I live in a very large semi-detached here, and next door, they have grown ivy up my house all the way to the second story.
Oh.
Now, I've finally got into that backyard, and I tore most of it off except what I can't reach, which will die.
Yeah, it will.
But how do I get rid of the plant to begin with?
Okay, let me...
The big root at the bottom that I can find so far.
Yeah, let me trace the question. Is it your vine or the neighbor's vine?
No, it's a neighbor's, but they've allowed me into the backyard.
Oh, they have. Oh, okay, because I didn't want to be giving any advice and you getting arrested this afternoon. So very tough. And even if you pull, you're not going to get it all. If the stalk is big enough, the trunk is big enough that you can cut it off and say it's 2 inches, in diameter?
About an inch and a half.
Okay. Just about enough to actually drill that if you can. Just take a drill bit and get some 3 or 4 inch holes in it. And you can go to your local independent garden center and they'll recommend a stump kill.
Product. I was going to put Roundup on it.
Yeah, Roundup is a contact control. You want something that'll go into the root system of the plant. Some people recommend just a strong salt, like rock salt, and put that in.
Okay.
But you've got to get down. Excuse the pun. You got to get down to the root of the problem.
I am right down to the ground, and I've removed some of the soil, which is very dry.
Yeah,
and I've cut some of them.
Yeah.
So tomorrow's another day. I'm going to have another go at it.
Yeah,
good for you.
See if you can drill.
I have filled five paper bags so far.
Oh my goodness!
Whoa.
Well, yeah. Well, send mail that in to Frank too. He accepts anything actually. Oh, but
any freebie, you know, I'm right
any
there.
Any freebie. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks, Renee.
Okay, so I shall go to the nursery and purchase that.
Yes,
good stuff.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And you know, part of our little mantra we give at the start of every show is call early, call often.
Yeah.
One question per call. Well, we've had a return call, I do believe, from Lorraine in Cambridge, second time around this morning. Hey, good morning, Lorraine.
Hi, how are you? Look, I'm so jealous of you being able to eat my favorite meal, the spaghetti with garlic.
Oh.
I used to have that. I could no longer tolerate it. I'm so annoyed.
Oh, golly. What an awful
Frank, look what you've done.
I know.
Everywhere puts garlic in their food.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyway, I called about, I have three hydrangeas, and two have got blooms, and one very close to the other has not, and it's bigger. Now, what can I do if I put fertilizer on it? Won't grow bigger yet.
You've hit the nail on the head. The reason it's bigger is for some reason it's probably getting a little bit more nitrogen somehow than the other two.
Yes.
And that could be an accident. It could be clippings off a lawn. There's lots of reasons it could be getting more nitrogen. So this time of year, not much you can do about it. Next year, try to keep them even as regards fertilizing and watering. And feel free to trim that one back so it matches the other ones.
Okay.
Plants are like children. You're never going to get, unless they're twins, you're never going to get two
yes,
exactly
like
the same.
I just like to have some blooms on it, but it's nice on its own too. But
yeah.
Okay then.
Good. Great question. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Lorraine. And to round out our calls this morning, I believe it's, it is Nat in Waterloo. Good morning, Nat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can hardly hear you, but it's in regard to your crabgrass.
Yes.
What I do, I take the grass trimmer, the flat of it, and just run it right over the patch, cutting it right down close to the ground to get rid of the leaves and the seeds.
Yeah. Then what do you do?
Hopefully it'll just die during the winter time, and if I need, I reseed.
Yeah, reseed. There's the answer I was looking for. So very effective. Good for you. A close haircut with the trimmer, and the more important Nat there is applying the topsoil and seed. So Frank, you know, but your listeners have a busy September coming up.
Yes, indeed they do. And you know, I quickly got to mention here, I've got a busy day coming up too. After my show, I'm going to be heading over to my youngest son's place to pick he and three kids up. Three of my grandchildren, and zip over to a spot quite near St. Joseph's Hospital here in town to celebrate my oldest granddaughter's birthday and her graduation from the University of Waterloo.
Oh,
so
fabulous.
It's going to be a great, great day today.
And let me take a guess. You're going to eat spaghetti and garlic at the birthday
You know
party.
What? You are so clever. You are so clever. Dennis, thank you very much, my friend, for
good to see you.
Filling in for Charlie Dobbin, who's taking care of that new house in Prince Edward County. And I would dearly love, folks, if you could tune back in, say, between 1 and 3:30 this afternoon. I'll have tons of great music, plus that Highway of Heroes song. I think that's just a marvelous thing that the Landscape Ontario folks have done to include that little yellow tree guard.
Mm, yeah.
So that when you're going down the 401 there, Highway of Heroes from
look
Trenton,
for that.
To Etobicoke, you'll know what it's all about.
And happy Good birthday stuff. To your granddaughter.
Thank you very much. Bailey, all the best to you, honey. All righty, I got a scoop. I see the boys from Dave's Corner Garage have arrived. Oh, look out. They're going to be at you very shortly.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.